Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court has issued an order asking for supplemental briefing in the Obamacare mandate cases. We're going to be talking about the implication of what the Supreme Court is potentially considering on faith and freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbWire.com, and Holly Mead, director of communications for Liberty Counsel. This order, it's a two-page order, came out just a few days ago from the U.S. Supreme Court. Obviously, there are some justices on the high court that are seeking some additional answers with regards to these Obamacare mandate cases before them. And I'm concerned, frankly, that what they are doing is playing a shell game, that there are some people on the Supreme Court that are looking for a different way out. But at the end of the day, it doesn't accomplish anything of substance.
Okay, Matt, exactly what do you mean a shell game? It's all kind of confusing to the average person.
Well, what they're saying is this. Here's how it works with regards to the nonprofit organizations. The nonprofit organizations, when they sign up, Obamacare requires them to provide insurance coverage that would cover contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices. Then after you sign up, the nonprofits that object because of religious reasons, they can file a form with the federal government indicating that they object. Then that means that the provider is the insurance company as opposed to the employer. So in other words, the employees still get the contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices, but it doesn't come directly, allegedly, from the employer. It comes from the insurance company. Now, that's a problem. That's why Little Sisters of the Poor objects, because they're basically saying, look, if I have to provide it directly, or if I have to say, no, I object, but I want to put the burden on someone else's back to do it, it's the same thing. Either I'm pulling the lever on the electric chair, or I'm telling someone else to pull the lever on the electric chair in my behalf. So it really doesn't accomplish anything.
Well, it's a little more than that, though, isn't it? I mean, it sounds to me like basically it's you say it's a shell game, but really it's all semantics. They're telling, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor, for instance, says, no, we cannot in good faith pay for this these procedures, these abortion procedures, or for birth control. They're a Catholic organization, which is a direct violation of our sincerely held religious beliefs at the core of our faith. We cannot do that in good conscience. So they say, okay, well, here's your accommodation. You don't have to pay for it. The insurance company will pay for it. So the insurance company tells the insured, nope, Little Sisters of the Poor isn't paying for this. We're going to pay for it anyway. And so they say, okay, Little Sisters of the Poor, since we're paying for it, now give us the money that we need to pay for
it. So
they're going to charge.
Yeah,
they're still paying for it. It's a total, it's a like you say, it's a shell game. It's like money laundering.
Yeah, and that's the case currently before the Supreme Court. And so what the federal government is doing in terms of their defense is saying, well, look, Little Sisters of the Poor doesn't have to pay for it. They can object, and their insurance company has to pay for it. That's the current issue before the Supreme Court. Little Sisters of the Poor and other nonprofits say, no, if I don't want to pay for it, I can't force someone else to do what I don't want to do because of my religious conviction. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm forcing the insurance company to pay for what I cannot provide. Moreover, where does the money come from at the end of the day? The insurance company is not going to voluntarily provide this at no cost. They are going to pass on some premiums, either directly or indirectly, to the employer. And so at the end of the day, the employer is still responsible for it. But even in that situation, it doesn't account for the self-insured. The self-insured is where the employer is also the insurance company. So they have their own pool of funds that cover their employees. And it comes from the employer, not the insurance company. The employer is the self-insured insurance company. And so in that case, the employer says, hey, I don't want to pay for it. Fine, I'm going to pay for it because I'm the insurance company. So even in that case, it doesn't account for the self-insureds. Now, what the Supreme Court just recently did, asking for supplemental briefing, is essentially another shell game. They're saying, well, what if when you sign up for the insurance, not after, but when you sign up for the insurance, you tell the insurance company, I don't want to cover contraception and or abortion-inducing drugs and devices. So the objection is made at the time or before you're signing up for the insurance, as opposed to after the time that you sign up for the insurance, which is the current way it is. What happens? Does that change the situation? Does that make everyone happy and we can go home and call it a day? Your objection happens now when you're sitting across the table with your insurance company and you say, don't include contraception and or don't include abortion, drugs, and devices into the insurance plan. Does that solve the situation? The problem with that is the same thing, because what they say then is, then the insurance company can go to the employees and say, look, the employer doesn't cover this in the plan, but we will provide separate coverage for you. So the insurance company is providing the separate coverage outside of the employer's plan. Well, guess what? We're back to the same situation.
They're going to bill the employer.
Yeah, they're going to bill the employer because, again, they're not going to provide this free. They've got to make a bottom line calculation as well, just like any other business. And number two, it still doesn't address the self-insureds, because the self-insured is the employer and the insurance company at the same time. There is no third-party insurance company. So again, they're just playing some games. I'm concerned that there's people on the Supreme Court that are saying, look, let's just rewrite the statute, because first of all, the statute doesn't allow you to object at the very beginning. It requires this to be a part of the plan. But they have rewritten the statute before. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the statute differently when he upheld Obamacare. So I think that there's some people saying, let's just rewrite the statute. Let's inject our own views into the statute. Let's put the objection earlier and let's call it a day. The problem is we're back to the same square one, because it still gets passed on to the employer, and or the employer is the insurance company and they can't get out of it either way.
So ultimately, what does that mean for our client, Little Sisters of the Poor, as well as these other Christian organizations that are being asked to compromise their religious beliefs?
Well, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor is obviously represented by a different public interest law firm. We filed an amicus brief on behalf of Little Sisters of the Poor and the others, but Little Sisters of the Poor is one of several nonprofit organizations, some of which that are before the Supreme Court of the United States are self-insureds. They don't have an outside third-party insurance company. So what that essentially means is there's no ultimate resolution. If they come back with a decision that says they don't have to file an objection after they get the insurance coverage, they can object before they get it, we're back to the same situation. Little Sisters of the Poor is going to say, we're in the same boat. That still puts the burden on someone else. We're forcing someone else to do what we cannot do. And it still doesn't cover those cases before the Supreme Court in which the employer is also the insurance company.
Well, yeah, of course not. And my concern here, Matt, is and we've already seen it happen in another case we're going to be talking about, this union ruling out of the Supreme Court. You know, the Hobby Lobby case, I mean, that was a narrow victory for religious liberty by a 5-4 ruling. Well, guess what made it a 5-4 ruling? Justice Antonin Scalia, who is now gone. I mean, he's passed away recently. And so we have a 4-4 court. And the appeals court ruled against Little Sisters of the Poor. So if this comes out as a 4-4, effectively, Little Sisters of the Poor has no religious liberty here.
You see, here's my concern. They've already voted on this case because they always vote on a case the week of the argument. So the same week that it was argued, they've already voted. I'm concerned right now that it is currently a 4-4 split. And that's why they're looking for some other option instead of having an impasse. Could they find another person to come on and make it a 5-3 split instead of a 4-4 split and therefore have a decision? The problem is a 5-3 split on this new question does not solve the issue. We're back to the same issue that ultimately is argued before the Supreme Court. It's a shell game again, this time one that is not being perpetrated by the federal government, but may be under consideration by the remaining eight justices, or five of those justices or several of those justices on the Supreme Court. So we're going to continue to watch this case. It's a major issue that's coming down the pipe. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. We're going to keep you informed on this case and other cases. You can also go to libertycounsel.com. And there I encourage you to sign up for one of several of our emails. We have emails for you to sign up there for Liberty Counsel, Grassroots Action Email, Liberty Counsel Action, our 501c4 issue advocacy organization, Liberty Relief International, our international humanitarian relief helping persecuted Christians, and Christians in Defense of Israel. That and much more at libertycounsel.com.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website is lc.org. Become an active partner with Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.